Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Episode 587. Don't attempt to fix it before you've ribbed it. Hi and welcome to the show today. I am looking forward to chatting to you about ribbing it and how we need to do more ribbing as parents. You're probably thinking, what is she talking about? Well, I will explain, but this is really, really important. And so often when we see our child struggling with something, what we want to do is go in and fix it and make it better. Why? Because when we see them uncomfortable or in pain, emotional pain, we want to take that away. We want to fix it because it makes us feel uncomfortable. It's very difficult for us as parents to sit and witness our children when they are struggling. So rather than helping them through the struggle, we fix it for them. And in fixing it for them, our kids will not feel seen and heard and understood. And they, in fixing it, we bypass them feeling the feelings. And we all want our kids to be emotionally intelligent and have high EQs. And we don't go about it in the right way. In fact, what we do ends up with them, can lead to them not feeling their feelings or being out of touch with their feelings or dismissing their feelings, ignoring their feelings, burying their feelings. And on the face of it, we all know that that's not the right way forward. But many of us are actually very uncomfortable with our own feelings, never mind becoming comfortable with our kids' feelings. So we as parents need to become more comfortable at sitting in the emotional storm with our kids and being able to witness it just for what it is. It might be them being frustrated or angry or sad. And we need to help them sit in it. And we can do various things to help them feel the feelings. Because when we feel the feelings, we can move through the feeling. And they say, the experts say, research shows that if we actually allow ourselves to feel the feelings or allow a child to feel the feelings, it only takes something like 45 to 60 seconds for that feeling to work through us. What happens is we ignore the feelings, dismiss the feelings, and they sit beneath the surface and they're there. And they can be there for hours, days, weeks. But if we actually let them come out and we sit in them and feel them, it can be really uncomfortable. Not many of us like it when, you know, we are sad or we're frustrated. We want to just move on, fix it so we don't have to feel that way. And what happens is in fixing the problem, we might not fix how we're feeling. The only way we can fix the feeling is to feel it and stay in it. So I'll get back to this RIB IT. It's an acronym and it stands for three words that you need to think about while your child is having a meltdown or your child. It can be a toddler, a teenager, anything in between. It could be your partner. And if there's any guys listening, really take this on board, dads. If you have female parenting partners, you need to really take this on board because I know my husband would be okay with me saying this, but he really was not very good at being able to hear, see, and understand me when I was feeling frustrated. He would try and fix it and do the man thing. And all I wanted to do, all I needed, was someone to listen and hear me and let me vent and validate me. And when you hear two mums in the playground chatting and one of them's emotional or something's happened and they're sharing the event with their friend, you'll hear the one mum venting and say, "I can't believe this happened. I was so mad. It's the third time it's happened and I just was beside myself and I still am. Just talking about it is making me feel really wound up and frustrated right now." And the friend might say, "Oh my goodness, totally get it. Yeah, I know. It's awful. That happened to me. Yep, I know. It's terrible. I hate that." And you just feel so helpless, don't you? And she goes, "Yeah. And it was just so maddening because if I'd done it the day before, it wouldn't have happened." And the friend goes, "Yeah, it's okay. I hear you. I know it's happened to me." So what happens is the person expressing themselves feels seen and heard because the friend is reflecting back to them all the emotions that are coming out. And that's what we need to do with our kids. And we're, as I can speak on behalf of women, and I know women are generally a bit better at this, and I'm not being sexist here, it's just women tend to be more of the care and nurturers with more empathy. You need to use empathy in order to do this step process. And with men, they're more the fixers, the deal with it, get on with it, move on, and might overlook some of the deeper, you know, emotional, fluffy, I'm going to say fluffy stuff. I shouldn't say fluffy stuff because it's really important stuff. But this is what we have to do with our kids. So we need to rib it. The R stands for reflect. And by reflect, we need to, when our kids are feeling a certain emotion, they don't know they're feeling it sometimes. So if we reflect it back to them, almost act as a mirror, to mirror themselves back to themselves, then it helps them acknowledge how they're feeling. So be a reflector to your child. So if they're frustrated, you want to validate their feelings. So you might say things like, "I see you're feeling really frustrated right now, or things are not going as planned and you're really mad. Or I might be wrong, but it seems like you are frustrated, but you're getting slightly angry and I see that." It might be that you say to them, "You seem like you're having a really tough time right now." So you're reflecting what they're saying back to you. So if they're like, "Mom, I'm really mad," say, "I can see you're really mad. Mom, I'm so sad. I can't believe that Jessica left me out and hasn't invited me to the party." You go, "Oh, sweetheart, that must feel really awful. I totally understand why you're feeling sad. No one likes to be excluded from things. That's tough." So you can see you're mirroring the feelings back to them, and then they feel seen and heard. And the minute we feel seen and heard, things usually feel a bit better. So we do this by validating, reflecting, acknowledging, and accepting that all feelings are okay. The good, the bad, and the ugly, they are all okay. However your child is feeling, it is okay. Those feelings are not to be denied, dismissed, stuffed, ignored. Reflect them back to them. So there's the R in the rib. Once they feel seen, heard, and understood, and only after that, you can bring in the I, which is to inquire. Be curious. Ask questions. Because what this does is when you ask questions about what's caused them to feel a certain way, it will inadvertently guide them to getting more clarity about what's happened. And it might even lead them to being able to find the solution to a problem, if it is that kind of thing. So you might ask questions to get curious. And in asking the questions, their answers will bring them clarity. So you might ask them, you know, what happened? But you can't ask what's happened until you've validated the feeling. We get it the wrong way around. And often we try and fix it. We don't reflect, we don't validate, we don't ask any questions. We just bulldoze our way in and say, here, do this. I'll call Jessica's mum and see if it was a mistake that you didn't get invited to the party. Well, your child doesn't want you to phone Jessica's mum. Your child just wants to feel validated for being upset at the fact she's been left out. You can see how fixing this problem in the heat of the moment is not going to work. So ask, you know, what happened? Or ask them, what have they learned so far? Or what do you think the next step should be? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to happen? And then how can we make that happen? Might be you have to help them chunk it into manageable steps. You might ask them, you know, what are you trying to do here? What's the goal? I don't understand. Oh, I can see why this made you really frustrated. It's super ambiguous, this. I'm talking with teenagers here, obviously, but, you know, sometimes their homework, they don't understand it. The questions are ambiguous. They get really mad. Then they're worried because they're not going to be able to do it. And if we just sit with them in the mad phase and move them through feeling the feelings and then ask a few questions, usually it makes it a lot better. You can actually even take a break with them and say, you know, it seems like you just need a bit of a break from this right now. Shall we go for a walk? Shall we have a hot chocolate? Shall we go and sit on the sofa? Whatever, take a break. Just give them some space. It'll act as a buffer and then you can revisit it. So in terms of the rib, you've got the reflect, you've got the inquire, and the B is boost. Only then can you boost them and encourage them. If you haven't felt seen and heard and understood, and someone comes along and goes, oh, don't worry about that. You can do it. Go for it. You're amazing. It falls on deaf ears. It's just faint praise. But when you go through these steps, then you can say, you know, say they've been struggling with their homework and they get really frustrated, perhaps even in tears, and you've sat with them, they've felt their feelings, you've asked a few questions, you've got a better understanding of what the problem is, you've asked questions in a way that they might have even actually managed to solve the problem themselves. We've moved through it all in a way that makes them feel seen and heard and understood. That's encouraging in and of itself. But if they're not feeling encouraged enough at the next stage, you could say, I know you can do this because you actually did it last week. Remember last week when you got frustrated with your science homework and you worked it out. You persevered. You used that determined characteristic that you've got. You're so determined and you will never leave something not finished. So I know you can do it. Then at that point, you can use all sorts of ways of encouraging them. And that's a whole other episode in and of itself to talk about encouragement. If you're looking for encouragement and how to do it, in a nutshell, to encourage a child, think about it as noticing what they're doing and noticing the effort and noticing the improvement. Not going, wow, good job, you're amazing, you're the fastest. That's all focused on the end result. To encourage someone and really motivate them and for them to develop intrinsic internal motivation, we need to focus on the journey and the process. So right in here, when you rib it, you're in the journey and the process. If you fix it, you're at the end. You've fixed it. So ribbing it is encouraging in and of itself. But remember that the B to boost them and make them feel better about themselves can only come provided they have felt the feelings, moved through the feelings, and you've asked questions, you've discussed it, and problem solved. Because we want that to build them up. We want to boost them. And in doing it this way, you are actually building their problem-solving skills. But when we ignore the feelings, don't ask questions, and we go in and just fix things all the time, we're bypassing that, and we're not giving them the opportunity to build the capacity to problem solve. It's a really important thing for our kids to be able to work it out for themselves. But sometimes they feel sad, alone, that they can't do it, and they need someone to boost them. But they first need to be seen and heard and understood, acknowledged, validated. Let them vent. And finally, if you have never seen a 2-minute clip on YouTube called "It's Not About the Nail," then Google it in YouTube right now. It's got about 20 million views. It's 2 minutes, and it is this in a nutshell. It's a couple sitting on a sofa. The woman is pouring her heart out to a guy, and he's missing the point, and she's not feeling seen and heard and understood. And this is the mistake that we make with our kids. We're good at it in with adult to adult. In fact, I'm going to say females are very, very good at it, female to female. Male to female, not quite so good. And male to male, unless you have a very empathetic male, again, it's not something that most men naturally come to, because they're not the nurturers, carers. They're the providers, the fix-its, the hunters. So I'm not criticizing men. I'm not being sexist here. But we need to improve our empathy skills in order to be able to ribbit. What happens is, if we don't have the empathy and we can't imagine what it feels like for that person, your child, in the moment, then we'll bypass it and try to fix it. And it never goes well. So I hope you've enjoyed this. Remember, don't attempt to fix it before you've ribbed it. And the rib is R for reflect, I for inquire, B for boost. So rib it, and only in doing that will you get to the point where you might be able to, your child might be able to fix it for themselves. But if not, then you can obviously help them. So thank you so much for listening. As always, hop over onto whatever platform you listen and tune into, and rate and review the show. Leave a review. It does make a big difference to me. It makes a big difference to other parents out in the world who get notified and might find out about this podcast. Share it with your friends, share it with your family. And don't forget to tag me if you're sharing it on in your social media. Tag me at louiseclark.ypp on Instagram, Louise Clark, and your parenting partner on Facebook. I always enjoy hearing from you. You can email me, louise@yourparentingpartner.com. Let me know whether you've enjoyed anything specifically in this show or any other show. And I look forward to hearing from you all soon. And thank you so much. Till next time. Bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.